A very warm welcome to Radio Maria Roundtable with me, Yaj Grand. This is another Saturday, the 11th of March, where we are commemorating the significance of the International Women Day and the women's empowerment in education sector in South Sudan. South Sudanese continue to celebrate the International Women Day, which is annually celebrated on 8th of March. The day is celebrated to highlight social inequalities and disadvantage women. In South Sudan, International Women's Day serves as an opportunity to assess the implementation of the 35% affirmative action for women and highlight some women's human rights issues, including gender-based violence, early childhood marriage, forced marriages, girl child education, and bad traditional practices which negatively affect women in South Sudan. It also serves as an opportunity to amplify the voices of women and to lobby and advocate for gender equality. It also serves to celebrate women leaders and to inspire young women to take the challenges of aiming higher in their careers and to seek for better living conditions for humanity. The main significance of the International Women's Day is to commemorate the cultural, political, and socio-economic achievement made by women in various fields. It is an occasion for all that involve all in the fight for gender equality, gender equity, and equality, to lobby and advocate for gender equality. The day's conception is embedded in the worldwide struggle for better living and working conditions for women. It serves as an opportunity to inspire efforts to end gender biases and discrimination and achieve gender equality in South Sudan and across the world. In the studio today, joining us to discuss the topic, we have Elizabeth Aguil-Tong from the University of Juba. She is a Future African Leaders Award winner. Welcome to Studio Aguil.
Thank you so much.
We have Anyer Malwalek, a Vice Student Guild President at the Stafford International University. Welcome to Studio, Anyer.
Thank you so much.
We shall be joined shortly by Rita Denya, who is from Catholic University of South Sudan. But in the studio, we have Betty Modong Francis from Upper Nile University. Welcome to the studio, Betty. What we are discussing is the significance of International Women's Day, is particularly to young women who are still pursuing their studies, who have a bright future ahead of them. So if I may begin with a will, what is the significance of International Women's Day to you as young women in the universities, and how much do you think we can enhance the challenges that I mentioned in the introduction? Agul?
Thank you so much, Mr. Yaj, for inviting us today. When we look at the significance of the International Women's Day, especially to the young women and to the girls in the university, we see that it gives the opportunity for girls and women to address the problems that they're facing at their workplaces, at the universities, at schools, and in the community. Looking at the theme of 2023 for the International Women's Day, it say Digital Innovation and Technology for Gender Equity or Gender Equality. Yeah. So it means that if there are ladies or if there are girls or if there are women that were not participating in the gender space, the International Women's Day will give us the opportunity to advocate. Mm. It will give us the opportunity to raise our voice that, yes, this is the time for women to be in the digital space. And its purpose is that the event will also spotlight the importance of protecting the rights of women and girls in the digital space and addressing online abuses and IT-facilitated gender-based violence, cyberspace building, and harassment of women and girls, and to provide an opportunity to highlight the roles of the lawmakers and the stakeholders in improving access to digital space to the women and girls in our community. So this day is very important because it gives us the opportunity to influence decision makers and stakeholders to make sure that girls are in the digital space, to make sure that the gender-based violence or gender ICT facilitated violence against girls and women, it's addressed. You know, coming to this context in our country, South Sudan, most of the people don't understand the use of internet, and girls have really suffered so much in this. I'm a witness. Before joining University of Juba, I'm in the first year this year. I was the head girl of Juba, the Association Secondary School. And most of the girls come and address their issues to me because I'm their head girl on how to solve the problems. Some of them are sent like, you know, sexual pictures by some of the boys or some of the men. Even other big men are disturbing those young girls in secondary school. So you can see the problems that young girls and young women in South Sudan are facing because of this digital or cyber harassment.
Okay, Will, if I may ask you this follow-up question. You said the theme of this year is digital
innovation and technology for gender equality.
Right. There are some women, maybe 80%, this is not a scientific figure, that live outside cities. Therefore, they do not own digital equipments like laptop you have. You have smartphones. With the challenges, the same challenges that you mentioned, girls in secondary school face through digital gadgets. This could also, they could also be faced by women who are not exposed. Do not have this telephone and computers. So how do you communicate to how do you pass this message to them, and how would these women resolve these challenges in the villages?
Actually, the women in villages are very hard to access. And the only way for us to access them is by radio, because the radio is covering, like SSBC Radio Mira is covering the whole country.
Yes.
The only way that we can reach them is by conducting radio talk shows like this one, or conducting grassroots capacity building or campaigns or workshop that we will bring them.
Are there NGOs or civil society organizations that are helping women at the grassroots in the villages and even in town, coming visiting your universities and try to talk to you?
Generally, I have never heard of that.
Okay.
And it has never happened. Okay. And that's why we are looking and advocating for that. That yes, the ladies or the women and the young women in Juba, in the city, are really benefiting a lot from the development in the technology.
Okay.
But we don't want our sisters in the villages to be left behind.
It's okay, I'll come back to you. Anir, what is the significance of International Women's Day to you? And what are the challenges that you face at the university, Stafford University, and how do you resolve them?
I would like to say the significance of International Women's Day, there are a lot of them that it has brought into our lives as women. And the first one of it is that we have learned to acknowledge ourselves alone as a woman. You get to find that you have the strength through this International Women's Day. You get to identify who you are exactly. And it's not even about only who you are, but what you are capable of doing. Majority of the women now, the ones that are leading, are through, like, they've been empowered. They've empowered themselves through this day, and they've also witnessed it from some other ladies or other women. Let's say for me, who is in school today, I know exactly the importance of International Women's Day, because it has actually given me a platform whereby I have to stand up for myself, and I have to advocate for something that is not right, something that I know that is against my will. I have to say it out as a woman. Let me say, back in the days, women were not given any position in the government. And right now, as we speak, at least there's a little percentage that is being given to us, though it is not enough as a woman. But still, we can still advocate, even in at the level of households whereby women are most times undergraded. Let me say they are taken as tools that will be used actually for domestic use, or let me say domestic work at home mostly, because majority of the women, for example, our mothers have never gone, they've never had the opportunity to become strong and let me say strong in their own decision makings. Every time they were relying on our fathers, and any woman who decides to do anything, there's always violence on her. And I see International Women's Day has really given us this kind of opportunity whereby you advocate, you have a voice that has to be heard, and you must pass it out, whether they like it or they don't like it. Here I have said, like, there's right now as we talk, in some workplaces or there's fair pay practices to both men and women. Let me say, for example, we are in an institute whereby we've been given a pay, not salary. We're in school, it's an institute.
Okay.
We're being given free scholarships. So if you are having almost similar grades with the other guy, then you're given a full scholarship, right? A school that offers full scholarship, that school also has, let me say, valued women. So International Women's Day has presented to us that we, the women of entirely the women worldwide, we are respected, or we can be respected as well, just like the men are, and we can be valued just like the men can be. So whatever thing that a man can do is what also a woman should
do.
So yeah, if we say in leadership, we participate in leadership, we can.
As a student leader in the university, of course, in a university that I presume predominantly dominated by male students, what challenges do you face as a woman, and how during the day on the 8th of March, like 3 days ago, when you were celebrating, when women were celebrating, well, South Sudanese were celebrating, of course, what were the reactions of your colleagues in the university?
Okay, the reaction of my colleagues in the university
towards the day
was, majority of them got to know that women also are recognized worldwide, let me say globally they are. And this has imposed a certain kind of picture of whereby they see value in a woman becoming a leader as well, because let me say there's the previous campaign in our school for the guild presidency position. We were two ladies that were campaigning to become guild presidents, and one made it through, and I didn't make it through. So what happened is there was discrimination, because it reached to a community level whereby the man who was campaigning, who was the opponent, we went to the community level and began calling the community members, because they were people of the same community after all, and all he wanted was the community members to sit this girl down, because he is the man, and they should tell this girl to withdraw so he can be given a chance to compete with the other men. So they were like, the girl is not capable at all. So what happened is this International Women's Day has given them a concept whereby this, okay, women are being valued. Why are women being valued outside, like worldly? And I, as a male president, I am not able to value this woman. What is so special about it? So let me say, there's now that urge to know more about women, or to know more about a lady or a woman leader.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Anyere. Betty Modong, is the same questions. How important is the day to you, and the challenges that you face in the university as a student, and how do you go about these challenges in the university?
Okay, thank you for the opportunity. The most important
the importance of the day of the International Women's Day to me. The day is very important because it celebrates the accomplishment of the women in the area like culture, political, economic, even in the society at large. It gives us a role of we need it makes us to know that we as a women we are very important in the society. Even the role that we played in a political way, women used to contribute a lot in this country. Even when we come to cultures, in a cultural way, we women used to contribute a lot also. So the day is very important because it empowers me or us as a young women. We need to know that we are very important, to know our contribution, what we contribute to the country or to the community at large. Also, the day is very important because it gives us an opportunity to raise issues that concern with the young women or concerns with the women. Issues like the challenges that we women are facing. So it gives us the role so that we raise the challenges, we raise the issues, we lobby for it so that the issue or the government will look what are the challenges that facing young women in the country. So the day is very important. Also, it is very important because it connects us, all the young women, with people all over the world, all around the country.
You said the day is to celebrate the accomplishment of women. Going by what you said, are you satisfied with some accomplishment that women have made so far in South Sudan? Or do you think that we still have miles to go?
Yeah, we still have much. We still have much to do also.
In which area?
When we come to in a political way, women, I can argue that women were to be given an opportunity to participate a lot. Even in a higher decision making, women are supposed to be given opportunity to participate and to give their input in the issues of the country.
But is it the case or not the case? Is it the case that women are getting in South Sudan are getting opportunity at the higher positions maybe to make their cases or cases for women or not?
No, somehow.
Somehow. Okay, Abgul, I can see you are signaling to your colleague, maybe trying to communicate something. Can you tell us what is that thing that you want to communicate? And if I may ask you, as a young woman, what are the challenges that you can mention, if you can mention three or five, the most critical challenges that women face in South Sudan, not only in digital world, but across, especially in South Sudan?
Let me first tackle the other question.
Yeah, sure.
For the role that the women played, or are we satisfied with the milestone? Actually, generally, women have played big role in the liberation struggle.
Right.
They have played big role in the peace building. They have also been playing and they are continuing to play big role in raising the children in South Sudan, handling the domestic roles. And generally in South Sudan, let me say, women of South Sudan are the most powerful women ever, because a woman gets up in the morning, cleans, cooks, take care of the children, must make sure that they go to school, and she goes to office. Imagine a woman doing all that. So let me say that women have played big role in all these sectors. And otherwise, although women have played big roles in many sectors in this country,
yes,
are only a few of women contribution is being addressed or is being acknowledged. So the biggest problem that all women are facing in my country is that the ideology that they are just women. They are just women. And people only look at the negative side, at the wrong side, but they don't want to amplify what our women are doing in the country. Like, imagine, let us look at last week, you hosted the former Minister of Defense. And since she came to office, she has done a big milestone. Because the children's parliament that we work with at Save the Children, we made sure to go to her and ask, what is she doing that she has become the first female defense minister in South Sudan? She was working on making sure that all the soldiers get insurance card.
Wow.
All the soldiers get insurance card. Imagine, meaning if you've given opportunity to a woman, she will not only take care of the office, as public place, she will take care of the office as if it is her own house.
House, yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So, the other challenges that women are facing in our country is the ideology that the positions that are given to women, the 35%, is given. In quotation, it is given to the woman. It is out of pity. But I want to tell the public of South Sudan that the 35% is not given. We earned it, and we deserve much more than that. We earned it. We deserve it. We earned it, and we are not satisfied because women are doing much, not only in the peace building.
Yes.
Not only in the household, not only in the government, but in our country, women are doing a lot.
Thank you very much, Agwil. You said, of course, the issue of 35%, and I don't know whether you, as a student, and whether you have time really to read the agreement, or maybe you have been in fora where a dissemination of peace agreement and the roadmap are being discussed. The 35%, as you said, is not given. It's something that is earned by women based on their contribution to the liberation of this country and independence of this country, of course. Their contribution is well acknowledged by some. And you said clearly that this is not what they deserve. They deserve even more than that.
Yes.
So, as a student and a future leader, and with all the recognition of what you have done, I can see you are a world winner of African leaders something. How do you translate this absence of political will to implement 35% to the other women who are not in town? I say those in the villages, this 35%, what they get even is not even 35%, is even zero point something.
Yes.
So how do you translate this thing? How do you communicate this thing? What ways do you see? I know as a student you are incapacitated, you can go down to issues here and then, but what can you tell your leaders, women and civil society organization, NGOs, international organization like UN, what can you tell them so to reach women at the grassroots? How?
What I can tell the civil society organizations and the United Nations organization is that we should not only focus on empowering women in the city, because all the workshops that are done here, all the campaigns, all the empowerment programs, capacity building for maybe police women, for maybe women in government, or for maybe women in science, women in arts, so it is all done in the city. So my advice to them is that yes, you've done a lot in the city, but let us go down to the grassroots. Let us carry if they cannot go down, at least let them bring like 3 women from different state every month when they are doing their workshop. Let them prefer a budget of bringing 3 women from the states every time to their workshop to build their capacity. So that if they go back, they will take the knowledge that they learned from the city, they will take the skills that are acquired from here and teach to their fellow women at the grassroots. And one of the things I'm doing, I can manage to do is that right now, I'm empowering the girls now because we cannot secure everything at once. Like there is the gap, that there are some offices that when you enter to right now, you find out that there's no single woman in the office. Other offices, it is very true. So imagine, in that office, it's meaning the representation of women is zero. If there's no single woman in the office. when you enter the office or the compound, you will only find that women are the cooking for them, are the cleaners cleaning for them. But otherwise, they are not in the office, sitting in the office in the decision-making table. So what I'm doing is that the girls at the secondary schools, we make sure every month we do girls empowerment programs to empower them that they own the space.
What are these programs?
You
do them with who?
Me and the Banat Power. Banat Power is organization for girls. Mm-hmm. It is led by one of the young women. Mm-hmm. She's a young girl, actually. She's called Emma Kwaje. I believe most of the public know her. Mm-hmm. We are working together with her in Banat Power. Mm-hmm. She is the founder of Banat Power. Mm-hmm. So we go to different schools to empower girls that they own the space. You can own the space in science. You can own the space in arts. You can own the space in music. You can own the space in wherever environment you find yourself in. But it will only depend on building yourself to fit in. Because if you don't equip yourself, you will have nothing to give.
Thank you very much, Will Anyer. What is your take on the 35% affirmative action, and is it being implemented across the social sectors in society? Take for example in education, in the universities, through the intakes. I know as a student leader, you know the number of girls in your university and how many of them are admitted annually. Is it being considered? Are girls shy or students given more opportunities compared to boys in order to enhance the chances of empowering them? When you go to the public sectors, offices, government offices, when you go to private sectors in business and NGOs. So what do you think? Is 35% according to you limited only to political spheres, political area, or is it translated, in all sectors of life in South Sudan?
Okay, the 35%, I can't say it is only limited to the political spheres. Mm. I can say the 35% as well is actually being applied literally everywhere, because everybody has got to know exactly what they want at the moment. Mm. Yeah, as a girl, right now, if you're at a university level and there's something that you do want and you've not dropped out at the lower level, secondary and primary, then when you finish, you clearly know what you want next ahead of you. Mm. It is now like a decision making thing for you to now take up that 35% upon yourself. It is now your strength as a woman to do it, because I can say today I'm advocating for the 35% to be increased, but is the woman that I am advocating for, is she willing to also fight for it? That is it. So if I see it at the institution level, I see like 35% is being presented very well, because majority of the girls, like in my school right now, girls are quite more than the boys in school. And I'm so proud that majority of the girls are going to school compared to the boys. It's not like I do not want the boys to go to school as well, but at least there's that fight, there's that gap that needs to be closed up.
Sure.
Yeah, there's that gap in that institution.
So you disagree with the Will who says that when you go to some offices, you would see women representation is to zero?
I do not disagree with her. In one way or another, because each one of us has got their own kind of perspective, way of presenting themselves or kind of idea, ideology on certain matters. So a girl might be right in one way or another in her own sayings. And I here, I can say I still stand with my point.
You said clearly that in education sector, for example, given where you are familiar with, that is at the university, girls' representation is more than boys.
Yes.
And that is appreciative. How about in other private sectors, in businesses, in NGOs, in government offices? Because Will clearly said in some offices, I think she's referring to government offices. Mm-hmm. Women representation is to kneel. So do you say with certainty that 35% is applied equally across other than education sector?
No.
It's not?
It's not.
Okay.
It's not.
How do we go about this? Because 35% is, as I will say it, and the law says, 35% is a law, has become a law. It must be implemented across all sectors in South Sudan. If it is not implemented, then the significance of International Women's Day is to make, to amplify this issue, so that every sector, private sector or public sector, try to adhere to this law. So now, if you say that it is not being implemented in other private sectors and maybe in government offices, how do we make this thing apply to?
Okay. All right. Let me say how we can make this thing get applied to, or is like, we have to give opportunity to women most times. Let me say, how many ministers are in that government positions? There are few women that are in the government positions, as we can see, and yet they've been given the 35%. And right now, let me say, a woman in a certain position in the government can be sacked, and then she gets replaced with a man. Meaning even the 35%, the little percentage that was presented itself has been also reduced on. So if you look at it, I personally urge the government to at least, I'm not asking them to sympathize with women.
Yes.
But at least they should give positions according to who deserves it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So which woman deserves this position? If that position is actually looking like, let me say, you have to first look at it. There are certain positions that women can handle very well and clearly. So if that position can be handled by a woman, let me say, let's just assume the Minister of Defense. Yeah. If that position can be handled by a woman very well, then what's the point of not giving it to the woman who deserves to be in it, so, and someone who's prepared for it?
So you say that as you agree with Elizabeth that Angelina did very well, and she owned based on the description of her will, she owned the ministry. She has met the ministry like her home, and she manages it with all the commitment that you would do as somebody in charge of your house. And she mentioned some of the things, and I will come back later on with the issue of something parliamentary. Are you making your case to the government, to the Artigono, that the position that was occupied by a woman, and woman has done so well, as you acknowledge, should also be given back to the woman?
Yes. Yeah, I can say that it should be, because
I can see the emotions in the studio. Yeah, go ahead.
It's not emotions.
No, positive emotion, excitement.
Exactly.
I should say. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, if the position is being presented very well, there's no point of removing someone, right? We all want the best for us, and it's not like a woman works for the best for it. She works actually in her best effort, like she puts in her best effort to try and make something good for her family. So if a woman is being given that position and she's handling it like it's her own home, then why do you have to remove it? After all, we women, we do not destroy, we don't break our homes down, actually. We instead build
them.
Yes, we build them. So why not give her that position so she can keep building South Sudan as a home?
Assuming that 90% of the Artigono is occupied by women leaders, how would situation look like, Anyira?
It would look very peaceful. I would describe it that way.
It would look
because
peaceful. Why?
It would look peaceful because there wouldn't be like some sort of clashes in the country. Because, you know, okay, we women, we decide, we take emotional decisions at a certain time, but we also do know exactly what the outcome will come. And we do have the fear that this would affect any woman would also see like, if this thing occurs today, it will affect this, right? We look at things at a certain level, like we view things at a level whereby emotionally, if this thing affects, let me say, the other people behind us, then what's the point of doing it after all? We do things with a heart that feels like this is, okay, let's say I'm a woman leader, and then there's a country that wants, let's take an example of Russia and Ukraine. If their leaders were female leaders, trust me, there wouldn't be war. Why? Because women wouldn't want to see children go through what they're going through.
Dying
and suffering as well. And women wouldn't see people suffer, like go through hunger and other things, starvation and all this. These things have affected a lot of people. And I trust if Artigno had given women that 99%, if it was filled up with 99% of women, then trust me, it would have been a peaceful ground. Instead, there would never be wars, never clashes in political instabilities and all other things.
That point is clear. Okay, let me say, there is an important process that is ongoing now, and that is the constitution-making process.
Exactly.
The constitution, a new constitution is being drafted for South Sudan. A constitution, I know, you know the role of the constitution as scholars. Then the constitution, after the completion of constitution-making process, then the country is going to transition into another event, and that is elections. A process, of course, I should say. Then elections will bring in the government now, a new government that is elected by the people. Now, in the process of constitution making, is an important process in which all that you are saying is going to should be reflected. So, as to you, near a future leader of this country, who would want all 99% seats be occupied by women, so that the country is peaceful? How are you going to make this thing enter into the constitution?
Does
it look difficult? I should make it very short. The constitution making is ongoing, and of course there are challenges that women face. And you have clearly said that women are peaceful. If with the prospect, this idea, knowing that if women are given opportunity, they will run country peacefully, how are we going to make this thing be part of this constitution? This idea that you are saying, how are we going to make it to be part of the constitution?
Okay.
Anyone of you, by the way, can interject, yeah.
All right. Let me first give you my opinion. Let me say, the only way I can see that this thing has to be put in the constitution, or I see that this could be put in the constitution, is if we women are given a chance to be heard in the constitution making process. Like, we need to sit down with the men together. If it means lawyers sitting down to amend the constitution, then female leaders have to also be heard. You know, female lawyers, they have to also be heard. They have to be part of it and give contributions. And a woman is a woman's suggestion sometimes has to be put into implementation. Because, let me say, people have the concept that a woman is there to just suggest, but the man makes the overall decision. So we women now, we should be considered as also decision makers, right?
Okay.
So this way, if we are decision makers, then meaning if we sit in a round table with the men together during the constitutional amendment, then honestly, it is going to be put there because we will have passed it on and it will have been reviewed by the other constitution makers.
Thank you very much, Betty. Betty, your take on 35% and the constitution, the involvement of women in constitution-making process.
Yeah. According to me, the involvement of 35% of women in the constitutional-making process is that for the voice of a woman, for the voice of a young woman to be heard, I will argue that let the workshop be carried that will combine men and women. So that the view of the women will be collected, then the view of the women also will be put into the constitutional making process. During the constitutional making process, when there is a workshop, let that workshop, let let the government call for young women or the leaders of all women leaders to come and attend the workshop so that they put their input in the whatever in the constitutional making process. Also, when we go to the grassroots level, the government should carry workshop or training, build capacity building,
training, civic educations.
Yeah, in the
for
in the villages for the women, so that they put their input.
Yeah, it's okay.
They will be called for the workshop so that they can put their input. What are the challenges? What do you want? What do they want the government to do for them? What is their role? Even they should be empowered with their role. The importance of a young women in the country, they should be empowered with it.
Agul, I can see you want to say something about regarding to 35% and involvement of women in constitution making process and maybe elections. Go on.
I want to talk about the recent conducted first ever women conference that was conducted from the 13th to 15th
of the International Women Conference. Go ahead.
15th of February. It has never happened in the history of South Sudan for the last 11 years. Because last year we have just celebrated the 11th anniversary for South Sudanese independence. But for the very first time, when the first female vice president was there, she and her group, her able women group of South Sudan, came up with the idea of the women conference. And during the women conference, some of the women were brought from the state. And such event, other women came, the heads of state, female heads of state, former female heads of state, are winners of lurate prize winners, award winners, were here to empower our fellow South Sudanese women. This shows that if more women are in the decision-making table, they will make sure that there would be sustainable development. Like, imagine during the women conference, I have learned one of the things that I've never had. I've heard that Agergum was in the liberation struggle.
Right.
She's a very powerful woman.
Yes.
One of the ladies was called Agwild, which was not taught to us in the secondary school history, that they are female liberators, female heroes. We have never seen them. You know, when they're putting the posters, South Sudanese heroes, we don't see. Have you ever seen a female hero?
Not really.
You have not seen. So, making sure that when women are in the decision-making table, it gives us the sense that women have contributed. Because during this conference, we have come to see that there are women who contributed in the liberation struggle. One of the women that was not recognized was speaking of what role she was doing when she was working for UNDP in Juba. Because Juba belonged to the northern government.
It was under the government.
Yes. Her role was to make sure that South Sudanese students were taken to the north to go and study, because the Arabs were not allowing them to go. So he would say, these ones are Bagandans, these ones are like this. You know, she came up with this idea to make sure that our youth from South Sudan go to Sudan to go and study from the Khartoum University, Juba University of Khartoum. So you can see the role of women. That's why we need more representation of women in this new constitution that is being amended.
Will, you said clearly the contribution of women during liberation struggle by mentioning some of the ladies. You mentioned Lady Will, you mentioned Lady Girgum. I know them personally and what they have done so much to this country. Now, you also said that their contribution is not being mentioned is in secondary school textbook.
Yes.
So it's how do you transform, having gone through this and having learned this omission? How do you transform? What do you suggest to leaders? The higher education is being led by Madam. Madam Wood. And how, if you had an opportunity, and this is the opportunity, how would you suggest the transformation of the curriculum or the syllabus?
I'll suggest that we those women who contributed, because I would say women contributed directly and indirectly. Mm-hmm. Because listening from the story of Her Excellency the Vice President, Madam Rebecca Nyanding, there were some women with her in the bush who are cooking for the soldiers, mm-hmm. who are encouraging the soldiers. Mm-hmm. Imagine, that means their contribution was indirectly, mm-hmm. apart from those who contributed directly and are not recognized. Mm-hmm. So my appeal or my recommendation to the Ministry of Education, mm-hmm. and to the government is that let the woman who contributed be given opportunity to be mentioned in the history, because it will motivate the young girls.
Young girls, yeah.
Yes.
I agree with you.
It will motivate
thank you very
girls.
Much. Our listeners, we have been joined by Rita Denya. Sorry, I might have pronounced you from Catholic University. Rita, you got us halfway to our program. Sorry. We are discussing the significance of International Women's Day and women empowerment in education sector in South Sudan. And coming from the university background, your colleagues have mentioned a number of challenges that women go through, young women go through in education sector. And one of them you just heard now from Aguil. So what is your take on International Women's Day, and how can it be used to empower women in South Sudan? Rita?
Okay, thank you so much. My contributions on Women's Day, it's like it is the day that women have been appreciated for the work done they have, you know, they have carried on. And especially in South Sudan here, there is a lot of recognitions that has not been taken. It has not been taken. Especially in South Sudan, we do call men do call us as Marasaket.
Marasaket.
They don't appreciate the changes or the differences that women do give. Mm. Like they do contribute in a country. Mm. At large, especially women at home, they have a lot. You wake up in the morning, you do all the domestic work. At the end of the day, you want to go to the office, raising children. You know, it's a lot of work. And when international can appreciate women, why not South Sudan? They have to recognize the power that women have. For us, as women, we need to be recognized, and you know, for us to contribute, we need to be given that opportunity, you know, to at least to give our inputs, you know. That's what I can say.
As a university student and having gone through secondary school, I believe you studied secondary school in South Sudan. Do you think the curriculum, the education sector, or the type of education that is being delivered empowers women? And if from secondary school to university, is the way education is being delivered, does it empower women, or do you think there are changes that need to be done right back from primary school to secondary school and universities in South Sudan?
Okay, to my own understanding, I have to say that the education that it has been provided or it has been given, it's empower women, or it's motivate girls so much. Because let me say it backwards, there's people that women has no opportunity to go to school, but for us, we get those opportunity, you see, and that's the great impact that has happened. And to my side, I can say that at least it has to be increases. There's some states where they cannot allow girls to go to school. And if we who have been educated, we stood up to advocate for that girls have right for equal opportunities as men or as boys, we can at least change.
How do you convince this parent that have two children or more, a girl and a boy, and resources are limited, and he or she has to make a decision as to who to which to who to send to school, a boy or a girl? And how do you convince this parent to make a right decision that empower women?
Okay, what I can say here, it's about all of us, we have been created as human, right?
Yes, right.
If that could be a girl or a man.
Mm-hmm.
And here it's mean that when you educate a man, you educate just a single man. But if you educate a woman, you educate the generation, or you educate the whole nation.
Mm.
See? And it can, like, for us to change the ideology of parents, what can happen is those who are educated, they have to participate, they have to contribute, and that one can motivate the parents that, I need my daughter to be like that. Mm. See?
Mm.
Like, the positive outcome that will come from those who are educated, we have to at least show ourselves. We have to come up. We have to show the parents that women can do more than man can do.
Okay. Agul, and maybe come back to Rita. There is this argument that is being advanced by some that in public gathering that some women leaders who are in position currently in South Sudan have been there for long. And they always represent women, and younger women are not getting opportunity to come up. What is your take on this argument?
This is a very difficult and challenging thing. Actually, yes, it is the discussion for rallies in different universities that yes, the women that are representing other women, like since the 2005. Till now, are the same in those positions. Like the government have not identified other young women to come up, have not empowered them. Because yes, we acknowledge they are very powerful women. They are our heroes, they are our role models. We look up to them.
Heroines. Yeah.
Yes, heroines, sorry. We look up to them. But the same way they have grown to become this powerful is the same way the government should identify other competent young women. There are very many competent young women out there that the government have not identified, that if they are only given a chance, there's something they will deliver to this nation. So my appeal and my challenge, I challenge the government on that they should identify other young competent women that would do something to the country.
But there is also this argument also by politicians that the 35% and empowering these women, this is a counter argument to the argument that I just provided, that yes, there could be those active young girls and young women who may do very well in politics or in private life, but you know, they can't just be called, come and join this political party. And we give you this thing, and that's what you referred to before, that the 35% was not just given. It is what we deserve, and it is what we demanded. So can these young women who are not interested in politics, can they what can these your role models, women in a high position, what can they do? They can just go and say, okay, let me call Anyer, and I think Anyer is interested in this position, and Anyer may not be interested in this position. So what do you have to say to this argument too?
This argument, it depends on both sides, let me say, because the young women who know that they deliver something, they have not gone to look for space or platform to exercise the authority so that they can also exercise what they can do so that they can be identified. And also, I will speak on the other side. The female leaders, I said, have not called other young women from different universities to empower them on what journeys, on what they should take, so that also the young women can be inspired, because it takes a voice to raise another voice.
Hey, if you are given an opportunity, Anyer, if you are given an opportunity to empower young women, what would you do?
First of all, I would come up with a initiative that is giving girls guideline or career guidance. You see, this is where it all starts from, because we cannot just finish, let me say, majority have finished. I personally finished my secondary level without any career guidance. And I joined
Not even from my parents.
And I joined university without anybody giving me career guidance. So
What are you doing at the university?
I'm doing law.
Law?
Yes.
Wow. That's why you are such articulate. So who advised you to do law?
I just chose law myself.
You chose it?
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't see young women lawyers who are so much articulate and maybe take them as their role model?
No. Okay. I didn't see that.
Okay. You can go ahead with what you want to say.
I didn't see that. So I was like, what I can first do is to come up with an initiative that is giving girls career guidance or generally everyone career guidance. So a girl can identify exactly what they want. If you want to become a politician, where are you going to? Which sector are you going to? You get to know it. And through that career guidance, I can say, if I have the capacity, I can empower more of them through, I can give them, let me say, mentorship programs, right? There are mentorship programs in the country. They are there, yes. But after mentorship, what else?
What next?
What do you live with? Where do you go to? Because you can be mentored and you don't have anywhere to go to after mentorship. You still go home and you sit, you relax because you have nobody that is pushing you. Sometimes it has to be two efforts at the same time. It has to be yours and it has to be for that person that is willing to also help you come up. So if I see it, giving these ladies or these girls the ability to choose what they feel like is one of the best things that at least I can give if there's a capacity.
Thank you very much. Rita, I know you have just come. We should also give you some more time to tell us. Oh, if you are given an opportunity to mentor some girls, what would you do in just in 2 minutes?
Can actually organize for training. And as my sister said, it's also you can build their capacity and you orient them about all those fields. What are the important of them? And if you have mentored them and you have oriented them, they will know, someone will know that, I'm good at that field. And I'm capable of it, so it's meant that I have to contribute to that field. That's what I can do.
Okay, thank you very much. Modong, what if you are given an opportunity, what can you do? How will you empower young women in primary schools and in secondary school in just in 1 minute?
Okay, according to me, I will empower them by giving them training. I will call for the young women or young girls in the school, whether in a primary or in a secondary school. I will give them a training of a capacity building. And I will inform them or I will train them on how I manage to come up to this level. The challenges that I face, I will inform them that when you're going to be like me, that is some of the challenge that you're going to get. But if you get the challenge, you need to face the challenge. And you will overcome the challenge.
Thank you very much, our listeners. Thank you for listening to Radio Maria Roundtable with me, Yaj Grang. We are looking at the significance of International Women Day and women empowerment in education sector in South Sudan. And in the studio are young, intelligent women. We have Elizabeth Wiltong from the University of Juba. She's also a winner of Future African Leaders Award. Then we have Anyer Malwalek. She's a vice student guild president at the University of Stafford. We have Rita Denya. She is from Catholic University of South Sudan. And we have Betty Modong Francis from Upper Nile University. Please stay tuned to the next program.